get the awful, awful diseases. Some get the knife, some get the gun. Some get to die in their sleep. At the age of 101, but life will kill you. That's what I said.
And that's the Warren Zevon who proved his own point. Poor Warren. But, and it's not a very cheerful note on which to begin the show. Actually, I was thinking about that song yesterday when I was having my physical. Because, you know, you go for your physical, particularly when you get to be our age. You know, I'm 49, you're a little tiny bit older than that.
Yeah.
And...
Thanks for pointing that out.
Well, you feel like this is sort of the time, you know, if you could just get through, like, maybe the next 7 or 8 years, then you could probably have like another 15 or 20 years. It's like right around now when, like, you know, if something horrible is going to go wrong, it goes on and on. It seems like it's sort of right around now.
Another cheery note.
Thanks. Yeah. And then if you get through that, then your 60s are, I think it's, you're, somehow or other, it feels like your odds are better. I'm sure they're not, but somehow or other, neatly, intuitively, it feels like your odds are better.
Yeah. I've been depressed as hell all day, and now I'm feeling so much better hearing that.
Yeah, I feel actually pretty good today. So I'm going to lift you
good.
Up. I'm going to lift up your spirits.
I certainly hope you will.
And if I can't lift up your spirits, then Rebecca Lobo will lift them up. She's going to come in studio and cheer us up so much. As part of my new program, my new personal self-improvement program of getting along better with...
Don't we have one of these about every week?
Washed-up basketball players. Yes.
It seems like we have the new program.
Yes, well, there's always a new program.
There seems to be one, like, every week or two, there's a new program.
Are you saying a new program of getting along better with Washington basketball players, or
a new program
of something?
In general.
But don't you think that's one of the things that makes me exciting and fun, is that I'm constantly embracing...
That would be one of the things, yes.
New programs of self-improvement. I'm always looking for a way to change myself for the better.
So many new programs, it would seem that if perhaps one of these worked...
Oh, in other words, do you think I should pursue one of them at greater length?
No, it would, I think, be better. Something like that.
Yeah, instead of constantly embracing new, faddish self-improvement ideas.
I guess what I'm saying is if perhaps there was some success in one of these, you wouldn't have to be embarking on a new one like every couple of weeks.
You're saying I lack follow-through.
That's part of it.
I'm not
part of it.
That's part of it? Is there another?
Well, no. I just meant it seems like you start these new programs.
I start these new programs.
And then they don't seem to go anywhere, and then you have to start a new one.
Well, for example, this one's going somewhere. I mean, I'm getting along better with Courtney Gaines.
One phone call.
Yeah. Well,
let's find out. Let's wait till the next one happens, and then we'll see.
You're very supportive. But you know what? You're right. I lack follow through.
I am being supportive.
Yeah.
And you did a much better job than usual. Okay. It was a much better job. But I mean, that's one call.
Yeah.
Let's see how the next one goes. If we get one, when is that stinky flower supposed to bloom?
We don't know. And
that
actually,
today?
We're contacting Courtney because today was the day that she said maybe this is Bruce and Collins show science editor, Dr. Courtney Gain.
Wait a minute, she's not a doctor yet.
Yeah, she could be one now.
Okay,
you know,
all right.
I don't think we have the same rigorous certification standards that academia
has. I suppose, actually, we could give out honorary degrees,
we only benefit from, you know,
making
conferring
stuff up.
False titles on these people and stuff like that. So Bruce and Collins show science editor, Dr. Courtney Gain, said on Monday that she believed, in her expert scientific opinion, she believed the course plant would be blooming today somewhere around 6 p.m.
Is that what the PR guy told her?
Well, in her expert scientific
opinion. Sorry.
Which may or may not have been informed by comments made by the UConn PR director.
Yeah.
But I think she was over there with her stethoscope and stuff like that, you know, and checking out the plant herself, too, and making her own diagnostic assessment.
This is almost big enough for us to actually be right there on the scene.
Yeah. But anyway, so we might have her on today for a psycho killer corpse plant update. But we are advising people not to go anywhere near UConn. This plant may be dangerous, and it may hit us. Let us send somebody in who knows what she's dealing with. Let us send in a challenger of the unknown. A person who's living on borrowed time anyway. The fearless Dr. Courtney Gain.
Why would she be living on borrowed time?
That was from a comic book that I used to read when I was growing up called Challengers of the Unknown. And the whole idea of I think they were called Challengers of the Unknown. And the whole idea of them was that they were all living on borrowed time. Each one of them had been in some mishap. I think there were four of them. And each one of them had been in some kind of mishap in his life. So that it could be said he was living on borrowed time. And the idea was they were therefore unafraid to take on things, to challenge the unknown. They would go and they would challenge. Every month, or however often the comic came out, I'm assuming it's every month, they would challenge the unknown. And because they were living on borrowed time, so they were not, they felt that they owed the universe a certain debt, I think.
Aren't we all, when you think about it, living on borrowed time?
Yeah, but some more than others. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think the concept of living on borrowed time is, if in fact there was one time when you should have died.
Would you say, this coffee you have here?
Yeah.
How many of these would you say we've had today?
The coffee's not life-threatening.
I know that.
Oh, I thought you were going to tie it into
a little jacked up today.
I'm always excited to go on the air. I love doing radio.
I know that, but there's some days when you're a little more animated than others.
Well,
they would
be right
up on top of the heap.
I think
or perhaps it's just that I feel lower than...
It could be. It could be a matter of perspective. I take some room. I was trying to talk my doctor...
It's just so casual.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took some Ritalin.
I was trying to talk my doctor, Jack, into giving me Ritalin, and he wouldn't do it.
I'm sure he was right on board with that.
I didn't really want to come out and say, because I didn't want to be a disgusting Rush Limbaugh drug junkie, you know, monkey on my back, licking the insides of prescription container Rush Limbaugh type of person.
You didn't need to be. All you had to do was say, Jack.
What I said was, as a Jack, I think that I have some... I think I have undiagnosed attention deficit disorder. And
here are the names of 575 witnesses that would be more than happy to speak on my behalf.
Most people would, he goes, well, you write books and you do this and you do that. Like, do you have any idea how hard it is for me to write a book, Jack? Because, in fact, I have the attention span of a gnat. You know, which is true. I don't have a very good attention span. You could tell him that, right?
Absolutely. Not only me.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, the list just goes on and on.
He was very unsympathetic to this idea.
I'd be happy to talk to him.
He said, I doubt very much you'd be able to accomplish what you have accomplished if you had attention deficit disorder. I said, Jack, what do you think I work in talk radio where everything is in increments of like 30 seconds? Because that's about how long I can focus on anything.
Yeah.
Give me Ritalin. I didn't say that. I didn't want to say, give me Ritalin. I said, I think I would probably respond. I think I might respond to certain kinds of things like Concerta or Adderall or Ritalin or, you know, I mean, not that I researched
or them. All of them.
Yeah. Well, it's all the same stuff. It's all speed, basically. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. But anyway, Jack was not having any of that, or at least he was not giving any of that. So if anybody knows a doctor who has no scruples whatsoever.
Yeah, good. That's good.
None of Rush's doctors, though, because they're under constant 24-hour surveillance. Forget about them, okay? I would say the little West Palm Beach, you know, illegal drug market. But at least, you know, I don't want OxyContin. I want opposite. I want some of that Concerta. Anyway, I got off. See, now I'm off the subject. I can't remember. It's literally true. I can't remember what we were talking about.
Oh.
Time slipping away. Borrow time. Thank God for producers. Bobby Sherwood points out. So, Challengers of the Unknown.
I don't know how he followed it.
Yeah. Challengers of the Unknown. They were a comic book.
Right.
They were living on borrowed time.
Yes, I got that.
They all had mishaps. They'd almost lost their lives. They should be dead. You know, Tom Cruise says this, too, in...
Tom Cruise? Where did that come from?
In The Last Samurai, which I watched again last night.
This gets more pathetic by the minute.
There's a moment in The Last Samurai, right before they go into the final battle, where Ken Watanabe... playing Katsumoto, turns to Tom Cruise and goes, you can go, this isn't your fight. And Tom Cruise, who's been this veteran of the Indian Wars, and he's like this self-hating, post-traumatic stress disorder, alcoholic, reformed alcoholic, self-hating person, says, I should have died so many times. And then he goes into battle with him, into this hopeless Thermopylae kind of battle.
Yeah.
So,
how did that come out?
Everybody gets killed except one person.
Oh.
But I don't want to say which one, because it would be a plot spoiler. So,
The thing's only been out how long now?
Well, yes.
Like a year?
Now it's on, like, DVD and pay-per-view and stuff like that. Wasn't that good the second time? I really liked it the first time. The second time I watched it, not so impressed. But anyway, he says the same thing, basically. He doesn't say borrow time, but he says, I should have been dead so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Warren Zevon said the same thing to David Letterman. I'm not making this up. Warren Zevon, when he was on with David Letterman, when he was dying, you know, Letterman at one point devoted his entire show to Warren Zevon. There's this new kind of softer David Letterman where he, you know, he's a little bit more serious now, and in some of these occasions where somebody he admires
he's
is dying.
Getting older, that's why.
Yeah, well, also...
That'll do it for
also,
you.
Also, he is a lifelong, big-time serious hypochondriac himself. Even before the heart problems and stuff like that, he's always had this sort of, you know, a lot of nerves about his own health, and he gets brain scans all the time because he thinks he has brain tumors and stuff. But anyway, when Zevon was dying, he had Zevon on, and he was asking Zevon how he felt about dying so young, so early in life. And Warren Zevon said, you know, there were so many times when I took a lot of drugs and went to bed and probably should have died in my sleep. You know, that 20 years ago, I should have died a whole bunch of different times. So I feel lucky to have had all this extra time, and now I am going to die. So there is that idea of borrowed time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that Dr. Courtney Ginn is living on borrowed time, but that's the kind of challenger of the unknown that we would send in to deal with a possibly carnivorous, mutant, freak, people-hating corpse plant.
Right.
That's which is what we're dealing with out there.
We always send in nothing but the best.
I mean, let's face it.
Nothing but the most qualified.
The University of Connecticut at Storrs is in a crisis mode right now. They have a plant that nobody understands. It's about to bloom, and it's just seething with hatred. So, I think
there's some concern.
If you bring in your best.
I would be concerned. How close would this plant be in proximity to the, for example, the agricultural? I mean, they have cows there and stuff, right?
Yeah.
That would be what I would be concerned about. A plant that big going after like a Holstein.
Yeah, and just sucking the blood right out of it.
Yeah, sucking it. I mean,
cow-sucking, cow-mutilating plants.
That would not be good, obviously.
Well, I would be concerned about it, like attacking a daycare center.
Well, yeah, but they go to the cow. See, I think what happens is they get the cow first, and then that rejuvenates. It rejuvenates the plant. The plant gets more energy.
Grows several times.
Then perhaps after a daycare center.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to be worried about.
That's the hypothetical, and we're positing.
Yeah.
You children out there listening to the show, remember as you're going to sleep tonight, if you hear any scratching at your door or any strange noises in the house,
don't start
it
that.
May be a psycho killer corpse plant that has eaten several cows and has now made its way down the highway to where you live.
Traffic and weather together. It doesn't just run bad.
I used to like this song, actually.
I love this song.
Yeah. Well, who do you, you say it all, really, because we don't have that much time right now. You know what the other problem last night was? I was watching The Last Samurai for the second time, and I liked it a lot the first time. And then I got my friend Maud to watch it with me. And the problem was, you know, when you've sold something to somebody else and you're watching it with them and you can tell that they don't like it that much.
Uh-huh.
And then you start wondering why you ever liked it in the first place. And Maud is very demanding. You know,
I had heard that.
And, for example, I got her to read the Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, the book I like so much.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you liked it, but she said, I don't like it as much as you liked it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, she doesn't like it as much as I liked it. So I think one of my problems last night was I had mounting anxiety over the fact that I'd gotten somebody else to watch this movie who I could tell didn't like it as much as I had liked it. So that was making me not like it even more. It's one of the worst feelings. It's a very sinking feeling. You feel like you're living on borrowed time.
Well, summer is here. Good old lazy, crazy, hazy.
Rebecca Lobo at 4:30. And then I guess also joining us briefly will be Bruce and Colin show science editor, Dr. Courtney Gain. Although I'm not sure she knows anything new about the corpus plant, but if we had any...
Well, it's good to just, just have an update.
Yeah. Certainly, if life in Mansfield had been obliterated by the corpus plant, she would be able to tell us that anyway. You know, assuming she's still alive.
Not forget, we are on the list. So if anything does happen, we do get the phone call.
Yeah, they tell us that. But you know what? They're going to call Mark Davis first. I mean, let's not kid ourselves, all right? They tell us, oh, you're on the list. What does that really mean, though? First of all, I wouldn't be surprised if some of these TV stations weren't slipping them a 20 here and there just to be, you know, the first to be called. I've heard that goes on. And so, Mark Davis, let me just say something. Mark Davis didn't get where he is right now just by sort of saying, well, I'm on the list. That's good enough for me.
Wait a minute. If being on the list is not good enough, what should we be doing?
We have our own science editor who's affirmatively, aggressively pursuing this. You know, I don't think...
By talking to the PR guy?
I don't think CNN says, well, we're on the list. If they launch another shuttle, I'm sure they'll tell us. You know, I think they have Miles O'Brien, and they say, you know what? Why don't you call up those goons over at NASA and find out what they're doing?
I think in the case of, like, CNN, I think they have, like, a reputation. They have, like, a really good reputation, so NASA would want to call them when they were going to do this kind of thing.
We have a really bad reputation.
Whereas here, forget it. I don't even think the 20 would help us.
We have our own science editor. I don't see any of these other cheeseball TV stations. They don't have their own science editors. And I can guarantee you WDRC doesn't have their own science editor. WDRC even barely even acknowledges the existence of science. And the rest of the radio stations play horrific music all the time.
You mean Brad doesn't have his own science editor?
I don't think he has his own science editor, no.
Find that hard to believe.
This is, first of all, I think they may be creationists.
This is great.
I don't listen to this to that particular station, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were creationists. And then the rest of the radio stations are playing horrible music all the time. So it seems to me we've got to be the only media outlet with our own science.
If that plan flips out and starts grabbing people,
yeah,
they're going to be doing more and playing music for a while.
No, that's true. Then they'll wish they had science editors. Yeah,
that's the thing you got to guard against.
Hey, I'd like to criticize the Hartford Current.
I thought my CD was done, but that's not what they say. Do an insult track. We need it for radio play. Ram in the names. I'll take a long, hard beat. Time to mess up the beats like an MP3. American Idols, that's who I look for in the poop section of my local record store. Ruben or Clay, oh, which should I pick? It's like choosing which puddle of vomit to lick. And when I want something even more fruity and fake, I look up N for NSYNC or T for Timberlake. So many skills just since making a buck at the Zirap. Does he think he doesn't know what to suck at? Now, as for the bitches, let's give...
All right, we better interrupt Triumph, the insult comic puppet.
You were told you couldn't play it on the air.
That I couldn't play it on the air?
Well, that it would be...
Who told me I couldn't play it on the air?
I believe the person sitting here just to my right.
Rebecca Lobo's the one who told me about this song.
She said you can't play it on the air.
We played it on the air in the past, and we're still working. Welcome to our airwaves.
Oh, you have the 7-second delay, so they can beep out whatever's not appropriate.
Yeah, the only problem with that is it requires having somebody with judgment around, which we don't really actually have at that moment. We're still looking for somebody with judgment. So Rebecca Lobo's here with us in studio. She's preparing to give a major public policy address later today, which we'll be discussing momentarily. But also joining us now live from the UConn campus, the fields of glory for Rebecca Lobo and our correspondent, is Bruce and Colin Show's science editor, Dr. Courtney Gain.
Well, the doctor's a little premature, but I will be the unofficial science editor.
No, I think we like calling you Dr. Courtney Gain anyway, even though you're not an actual doctor. Say hello to Rebecca.
Hey, B, how's it going?
Good, how are you doing?
What did
I'm
you call
well.
Her? What did you call
B.
her? B?
B.
B. Is that
not
what people call
Bumble.
You?
That's what people in the basketball community call me.
You used to play basketball?
I used to, a long time ago. I didn't have the mid-range jumper that you claim to have, but I played a little bit.
What have you been telling people?
Well, she asked me one time about what kind of basketball player I was.
Yeah.
It was completely unsolicited. He just let us know.
No, that's not true at all. You asked, and you're so awful.
No, your buddy was here talking about how good of a basketball player he was.
Oh, Randy Cooper,
yeah.
Okay, maybe that's why. Okay. All right, let's get back to the corpse plan. Do you have any more information, Dr. Gain, about the corpse plan?
From what I hear, and I feel like I neglected the poor plant by not visiting it today.
Right.
Because we have a bond. But I think it's going to bloom tonight.
And is that your scientific opinion, basically?
I'm kind of like really attached to the plant. It's more of a gut feeling.
It's a gut instinct.
Yeah.
And how would you describe the mood around the UConn campus these days? Is there sort of a mood of apprehension?
Yeah, it's kind of like time is frozen.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautifully put. You really know how to paint a picture with words, don't you?
Definitely a true artist, a verbal artist.
Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to ask Dr. Gain there?
I just want to know if she's still taking pieces of co-ed muscles out of their legs for her science experiment there that she was doing.
What?
I am. I'm still chopping people up.
For whatever project she's working on, she, for $100, these kids agree to have Courtney, not more than once, take pieces of muscles out of their thigh for her to study.
Does the Amnesty International know about this? Well, did you have to get like a Justice Department memo approving this?
We have a human use committee, like an institutional review board, which determines whether or not this is something that people should be subjected to.
Who's on that? Mike Boguslawski? So you take muscle out of people's bodies?
Actually, I don't perform the surgery. I just put in the catheters. My professor takes the muscle.
Ew.
But I chop it up.
Ooh, why are you doing this?
Oh, right across from the dairy bar.
No, why are you doing
it? you haven't had muscle ice cream yet?
No, I'm going to be very careful what I order from now on. I'm going to ask what the rocks in the rocky road are, that's for sure.
We are measuring rates of protein turnover following an endurance exercise bout in female runners.
Did you let her take any muscle out of you?
No.
Would have. I definitely would have. Totally. That's what I tell my subjects.
Did you take any out of yourself?
Yeah, did you take any out of yourself?
Oh, for dinner?
Not for dinner. Oh, my God. You're disgusting.
No, did you take any of your muscle out of your own thigh?
No.
And would you have taken some of Rebecca Lobo's muscle if you possibly could have?
Oh, definitely. If she'd give it up, I'd take it.
But she doesn't seem like she wants to give it up.
I actually would prefer your muscle.
I would give you some muscle.
We're looking for highly trained, elite, Olympic-caliber athletes.
I'm a mighty oaf. I would give you some of my... What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Why is she
kind of self-explanatory, isn't it?
We're trying to genetically profile the muscle of a perfect human.
You want some freaking old guy muscle? I'll give you some freaking old guy muscle. Yeah, you should have some old guy muscle in there. You probably just have young people muscle, right?
We do. We do need to make some elderly young person.
Hey, I'm already catheterized, all right? So that's one step you could skip that part.
That's too much information.
All right, you don't have anything more to say about the corpse plane, do you?
No, it was attracting flies last night, which, you know, is a sign that it's starting to smell like your flesh or dead, dying, decaying flesh. And so it seems like it might be soon.
Yeah. Do you get invited to a lot of dinner parties? I mean, between the muscle and the ice cream and the flies to the flesh and stuff, it's just...
I've had Courtney at dinner parties, and she's actually a lot of fun.
I bet you she is. I bet you she's a million laughs. All right, well, you, as usual, fine work, Bruce and Collins Show Science Editor, Dr. Courtney Cain.
thank you.
And we'll be in touch with you after the flower blooms.
All right, fantastic.
All right, until then, we're taking a wait-and-see attitude. Touch and go.
All right.
Bye. I'm starting to like her.
She sounds thrilled to be on the
I'm
program.
Warming up to her a little
You're
bit.
You're starting to like her. You just have to worry about if she's starting to like you.
Well, yeah, no, that would be the next step.
Okay.
This is a person that takes muscle out of people's thighs.
I know, that is kind of...
Okay, you want to mess with her?
Yeah. I offered her some muscle. I offered her the muscle...
Did you hear what she said?
The shirt off my back?
She was looking for... They're looking for the perfect athlete.
Yeah. I'm a powerhouse. I'm a dynamo. What is this speech you're giving tonight?
Notice how we changed the subject rather quickly.
Well, I don't want to talk about myself. We have Connecticut legend.
I don't
want
to talk about myself.
No. If it's just you and me, I would talk about myself, but we have a Connecticut legend here.
Well, first of all, the only reason I'm speaking is because Coach Daly backed out at the last minute.
Yeah.
So I think it's the Capital Region Council of Governments.
Yeah.
And their whole theme is Arino, Coach Oriam, and all that stuff, which people like to hear.
I saw him the other night.
Did you?
I did.
By accident, or...?
Yes. Well, I mean, neither one of us planned it. We happened to be in the same restaurant. And it was sort of interesting because I was in the restaurant, and my friend Lou Ann Rice, the best-selling novelist, was in the restaurant, and we were kind of celebrities in the restaurant, and people were kind of excited that we were there. And then Gino came in, and then we weren't celebrities anymore.
Okay, when you say you're a celebrity in a restaurant, what does that mean, really?
And that means I would get up occasionally and yell, "I'm a celebrity,"
right.
And then I would sit back down. No, people would come over to the table. I mean, I'm not as... Look, I know I'm not as famous as you are. I understand that.
But no, I'm interested to know what that
people
exactly
come over to the
means.
Table and they say, "Hey, we listen, we like the show," or "Hey, we listen and you're an idiot."
Probably more of those.
You know, people come over, they throw their drinks in my faces.
Do they buy you like a glass of wine or anything? Or?
I don't think anyone has ever done that. No, maybe once or twice, but it's been a long time.
So what would
do that? Do they buy you? Stuff?
What would it be like if you're like a real celebrity in a restaurant?
No, it's the same thing, and it's one thing that always shocks me is, you know, people come over and talk, which is great. Five people come and. If I'm at a booth, they'll sit down.
Yeah.
Even if I'm with somebody else, they'll just sit down and talk, which is fine. But they rarely
pay for anything.
Buy a Coke or something for you.
So take that as a hint, people of Connecticut. The next time you're in a restaurant with Rebecca Lobo, talk less and get the wallet out. And
No, but the nice thing is
a little glass of Pinot Grigio.
You get to meet a lot of people. I don't really like it when they sit down.
Yeah.
But when people come over and talk, I love that.
Actually,
I get to meet a lot of people.
I've been
out
in public with you a few times, and you are extraordinarily gracious to people.
We've never been out in public together. I've made a point of that.
This is what I mean by mean. This is what I mean by
yep,
she has a reputation.
Oh,
you
mean at the Santa
like
store.
At the Santa store, for example, you people would come up to you, and you were very gracious and nice.
Well, yeah.
That hardly qualifies
I'm close
as being out
I'm
in
close
public
to
together.
You know, I mean, she doesn't
Bruce,
talk to...
Bruce, do you socialize with Tom?
No, no, we actually... Absolutely not. We've been together on the air for 17, 18 years, something like that, and we have never gone anywhere.
Yes, we did. We went to that makeover thing.
Oh, that's... Yeah, but that was like an event kind of thing.
But no, but
we've never just, like, gone out for lunch.
No,
or anything, not
never.
Even once, and we're proud of that, too.
Yep.
Speaking of makeovers, your hair is different.
Doesn't he look cute?
Yeah, it looks great.
He looks great.
He's got some product in it. I've not seen him with products before.
Yeah, he's got product.
Yep. Get the product.
Yeah, that was the part of that was the result of this Queer Eye for the Straight Guy makeover that we both did, where we became much more metrosexual, but especially him. But in a good way.
And you're wearing a purple shirt, though.
So. Yeah,
I love that shirt.
But I've always been very comfortable with that, with the purple side of my personality.
Yes, I know you.
Yeah, but enough about me.
Which is exactly what you said in bed after three. And it's still continuing.
Yeah. So with us now is Rebecca Lobo. We'll have more and more and more Rebecca Lobo. I want to mention something. We have to go to a break right now.
There's a surprise.
But I want to mention something when we come back, something funny that her husband wrote that I discovered recently.
Well, last night the Red Sox lose to the Yankees, but on a brighter note, Pedro Martinez took down Walter Cronkite 2 times out of 3. Time for Sparta Cast. Avec Monsieur Anodin, Mademoiselle Lobo, myself, Louis Gaston de la Mer, and Bruce Stevens.
All right. I don't know anything about sports. What are our topics?
What would you like to talk about?
So we're back with just a little bit more.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
We're about to go to a special phone call from Mary in New Hartford, but we want to mention Rebecca Lobo is here with us, so she's going to leave pretty soon to give a speech to the Capital Region Council of Governments, to whom I've also spoken, probably at this self-same event that you're going to. But you're what they're in for a treat, because you look very glamorous tonight.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Very nice. Don't you think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Much more well turned out than the usual, terry cloth outfit.
Terry cloth wardrobe is at the cleaners. Can I just say something really, really quickly?
Oh, yes.
Because people, when they know I've been on the show, they ask what happens during commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to let them know that you guys just sit around and complain about how long-winded the traffic and weather people get eating into your time. So that's all that happens.
Where do we get that air horn?
Commercials.
Yeah. We're going to do more than complain.
We're taking action.
We're going to take back the streets pretty soon. All right, let's talk to Mary.
Hi.
Rebecca.
Hi, Mary.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you, I see you in church once in a while up in Southwick.
Yeah.
Is that your brother who's so tall?
If it's really, really tall, that would be my brother.
My brother's
6'11",
Yeah.
Stop prying into Rebecca's life, you snoop.
I've got a son who's 6'6", and I hope he gets a hold of Colin's neck sometime.
No, he doesn't need to be 6'6 to get Colin's neck.
Yeah. How tall is he? Rent?
A runt?
Is he?
Gang up on me. Why don't you? Go ahead. If that makes you feel better.
I don't know how tall he is, but I hear he has a really good mid-range jumper.
Well, let me tell you. I was on the show last night. All pictures of Rebecca, but the Iraqi girls. And you should go over there dressed like an Iraq woman when you go out.
You're talking to Colin?
A scarf on their heads.
Yeah.
And I think you'd be very safe.
Like when she goes to church, you mean?
No. She doesn't have to do that to go to church because she's safe there.
Okay.
But anyway, I was thinking about that, and they really look very pleasant, very attractive girls.
Well, even better, I think Colin should dress as an Iraqi woman here in Hartford.
I wear a burqa at times.
I don't think an Iraqi woman would live with him, I'm sure.
But he'd probably be safe then from people coming up to him in restaurants and treating him like a celebrity.
Mary, we have to return to planet Earth, but it's been good talking to you.
Oh, God. Why?
Because I had my physical today.
You did?
I'm a mighty oak.
And you're okay?
As far as they can tell so far, I'm a mighty oak.
Good.
Now, so I've got to have the blood work done and stuff like that. But we got through, the hunt for Red October, which is
certainly a lot of fun.
The thing we don't look forward to that much. And not only that, but so I had my physical with my doctor, Jack. He doesn't use a last name.
Just Dr. Jack.
No, not Dr. Jack. Just Jack.
Oh, just Jack?
Yeah. Not doctor.
No doctor?
He's simply known as Jack.
Jack. I thought he was Dr. Jack.
No, just Jack. He doesn't use a title or a last name. No honorifics. And This is also, as you perhaps know, I'm 49 years old. I'll be turning 50 this October.
I've heard 15th. That,
yeah. I don't know how many shopping days there are left, but quite a few, actually, for those of you out there in listener land. Maybe time to go to the bank and get one of those kind of Christmas club things where you can put a few bucks in every week.
I got one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
For that exact purpose.
By the time October 15th rolls around, you could actually buy me something pretty nice.
Mm.
This is also the year that I become sort of eligible, as it were, for the colonoscopy. Which I think I'm going to do. I think I'm going to do it, like, right away. I'm going to do it, like, you know, whenever it is I become eligible. Boom.
What do you mean, become eligible?
Well, I think it's sort of, you know, the 50th birthday, that's sort of the Rubicon you cross, and then it's time to say yes to colonoscopy. Or no. But I think I'm going to do it, partly because, why not? And second of all, because I figure I get two or three shows out of it, right? Plus a men's health magazine.
Undoubtedly a couple of columns. Maybe a book.
It's probably worth it. It's probably, if you really sort of look at it that way.
Especially, you know, since insurance pays for it, why not?
Yeah, there's, right. So there's whining about it on the air before it actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
and after.
And after. Then, plus the discussion
maybe
of,
a
the,
day off.
Of the cleansing, flushing stuff that you got to drink the night before.
Oh, that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's apparently the worst part. People who've had colonoscopy say, the colonoscopy itself, well, I think you're kind of out while it happens, so... You don't even, you know, I mean, just somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, it's time to leave, jerkface. You don't even know that anything has happened.
I don't think that's exactly how it works, but...
I think it kind of is. I mean...
They don't tap you on the shoulder and say, it's time to leave.
Well, Jack said that that he's actually had one, and it is kind of like that. I mean, it's one of those things where they say, we're going to put you out, and then the next thing, they're tapping you on your shoulder,
yeah,
saying, it's time to leave, jerkface.
Yeah.
And you think, well, no, I haven't had my colonoscopy yet. And they say, oh, yes, you have. It's like an alien abduction, you know?
Yeah.
There's some lost time, and something goes up your wazoo for a while. It's exactly like an alien abduction. As a matter of fact, many of the people who think that they've had alien abductions, many of the people who think that
they get a report in the mail like a couple weeks later.
Yeah, they think that they had an alien abduction. It just turns out that somebody signed them up for a colonoscopy. Not that different. So anyway, I mean, I don't think it's my understanding of it is that part of it is not that bad. But drinking the colon-flushing liquid, that's the bad part.
Have you had the other thing, the flexible sigmoid?
No, I have not had
it. Well, I have.
You've had that?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't that bad, but as you say,
yeah, you're out.
The preparation work.
Yeah.
No, you're not out for that.
Oh, you're not out for that?
Oh, no, no, no. No, no.
Hand puppets, anything like that?
No hand puppets, yeah. No anything. Well, it wasn't that bad.
I'm bringing Lillian the puppet lady with me to my colonoscopy. Just in case there's anything upsetting about this, you can use the puppets to calm me down.
That should be... certainly worthwhile.
Yeah. And
I might actually have to come and watch that.
I think the whole idea of having this kind of kooky retinue that we have here, I think it's unfortunate that they can't accompany us. It's kind of an entourage. They're sort of our people.
No, I don't know that it's necessarily unfortunate.
Economist and,
would you like to go in public with these people?
Well, not Joseph the Angry Christian, but, you know, some of the other people, some of the other kooky people, I wouldn't mind having them be my little...
You'd like to go to a colonoscopy
sort
with
a locutus? Chaucerian entourage. Yeah, I would. What's the point of having?
I guess the question then would become what's worse.
Yeah. Anyway, I was going to say something else. I can't remember. Oh, anyway, Jack said that you do realize over the course of drinking the colon flushing liquid why Angel Soft can afford to charge you a little extra. You know.
Yeah.
Why that's kind of warranted. Anyway, here's John from Harvard with a colonoscopy. Really, Katie Couric.
God.
Yeah, get your colonoscopy done.
Yeah.
I just heard you say you're turning 50, and I thought, time for a colonoscopy. And then you said, I'm thinking about getting a colonoscopy.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that happens.
It's no big deal, just like you said.
Yeah.
You drink the stuff, it's not even that big a deal. Take a couple pills, it's a little messy, but it's not a big deal. They knock you out. You don't know anything, and the next thing, you know, just like you said, they're tapping you on the shoulder saying, get it, you know, you're ready to go.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's worth doing. Don't procrastinate. A lot of people have missed the boat on it.
I know. A lot of people say no to colonoscopy. Just say no.
It's no big deal at all.
Yeah. Well, thank you, John.
All righty.
I was feeling okay about it anyway. And to tell you the truth, it's not, you know, I think the people who have trouble doing that, their lives are just kind of nice, you know, so why would they want to interrupt it with a colonoscopy?
Well, their lives are nice now.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I mean. You know,
you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but they're enjoying their days. You know, they think, why should I interrupt my... Whereas, you know, my life is a squalid nightmare. So, I mean, a colonoscopy is not going to be that bad.
No, it would fit right in.
Yeah, it's not going to
be just like not missing a beat.
It's not going to like, be out yachting otherwise. You know?
I have to. I think my thing is up in January or something.
Your thing is up?
Well, I mean, they told me I had to come back in January.
Oh, okay.
I had this done like a couple of years ago or whatever.
What, do you get them like with Valvoline or something where they get them a little postcard?
I
have
mine done at Valvoline, yeah. Yeah.
You know, eventually they'll have that.
20%. Yeah, they will.
There's no point.
They'll tell you that you have to have it.
Yeah, pull it in one of the days.
If you don't have this done, it's going to be bad for your car.
Yeah.
Or bad for you.
That's right, yeah. They'll say, you know what?
You know, you got to have this done.
You know what? You're burning some oil in there. We've got a treatment, though.
Right.
Yeah. They've been doing that to me lately. Valvoline didn't used to do that. But now you go there, and it's like, well, for $65, we've got, you know, some civet oil we can dump down in there. And they squeeze it out of little cats in Southeast Asia. It's great. Your car is going to fall apart if you don't have it. Here's Bobby from Glastonbury.
Bobby?
Welcome to the colonoscopy show.
I have a very useful suggestion on how to administer the Fosfa soda, which is the liquid you take.
Yeah.
You take the bottles and you put them in the freezer.
Yeah.
You get them as cold as possible before they start to freeze.
If you like pina coladas.
You take a shot glass. Because it's just about the same volume as a regular good-sized shot glass.
Yeah.
You pour it in the shot glass.
Yeah.
You don't mix it with ginger ale or anything else like that because it's too much to swallow.
Yeah.
You just bang it down like a Jägermeister.
Yeah.
And you have those little packet of those Altoid mints, the little wafer mint things.
Yeah.
You have about five or six of those already out, laying on the counter next to the shot glass.
Yeah.
Bang down the shot glass, throw the Altoids in your mouth, and you're good to go.
You're kind of a Jägermeister, aren't you?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize it was that big. Could you turn it into a drinking game? Like, you know, you could watch like a... One of President Bush's press conferences, and every time he says, you know, you have to drink another Jägermeister or cold.
Some would argue that if you did that, you wouldn't need the medicine.
It'd be quite a drinking game in about an hour after you take the first shot.
Then it would be a different kind of game.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I don't know. I mean, it won't be a
fine can of worms we've opened here.
It won't be until the fall that I'm going to do this. I'm not doing this summer. I'm doing it
fall. Isn't that far away.
No. But I mean, all of the things,
only 3 months.
The things that they're telling me right now, I'll never remember. But I mean, it might be useful for other people.
Oh, good.
Know, it's a service that we're performing.
Yeah,
right now.
Public service.
I'm trying to remember if there's anything other exciting things that happened in my physical today. I don't really think so. It's just that my blood pressure went up slightly, but what happened was Jack, before he took my blood pressure, he said, "So how's your mother?"
Oh, okay. Well,
I said, "Jack, that's not fair to do. You're about to take my blood pressure. You can't do that." So, well, I don't know how many more calls we should take about colonoscopy. There may be other
things. You may recall that you were the one that brought this up, so
I understand that.
This would be your call.
You know, just another thing, as long as we're talking about me, I'm not doing yoga.
Funny how that, you're not what?
I'm not doing yoga right now.
Why?
You know why? Because, I'm glad you asked me why.
Yeah, well.
They started doing like a different kind of yoga, the yoga place that I'm doing.
Oh, that's a bait and switch?
Well, it's not bait and switch. What happened is they got interested in this thing called Anna Forrest Yoga. And Anna Forrest is like this yoga guru and stuff like that. Except that I noticed, and I'm not making this up, all right? I noticed that when they were having the Anna Forrest workshops and stuff like that, I mean, it's some kind of very intense, stressful yoga. It makes the kind of yoga that I do. I do Nazi yoga. I do have this hot room yoga that, you know, I mean, it's not for sissies. But then they were doing these intense Anna Forrest yoga workshops, and I'm not making this up. There were people walking around the yoga center on crutches. I mean, I assume what happened was that they got hurt doing this yoga. So then they started having, and those are kind of intensive workshops, which I did not attend.
Kind of intensive. Kind of intensive workshops.
They were very
walking around on crutches.
Yeah, well, then I walked by the room where they were doing this intensive Anna Forrest yoga workshop, and there were like, I walked by one of the big yoga workout rooms, and there were like 100 people lying on the floor face down with rolled up yoga mats kind of sticking out of their tuchuses. Because what Anna Forrest likes you to do is to roll up a yoga mat and squeeze it between your thighs, but when they were lying on their stomachs, it just looked like they had yoga mats kind of coming up out of their tuchus, and I thought, this is like the worst cult ever. But anyway, I started doing it, squeezing this yoga mat between my thighs, and I think I hurt myself.
Okay.
So I'm not going to do this yoga anymore. I want to go back to the old yoga, the nice yoga. I don't want to do this kind of yoga. But, I mean, there were people on crutches. And I don't think they were there because they were on crutches in the first place and they wanted to throw away their crutches. I think they got on crutches.
Probably happened, happened there.
Yeah.
While they were doing it. You probably made a good choice getting out of there.
Yeah. Yoga's getting real dangerous. It used to be just this kind of very quiet contemplative thing.
Yep.
But now it's just like, you know, I mean, you can't find the quiet contemplative thing. There's power yoga, there's hot room yoga, there's Anna Forrest yoga. Probably Hulk Hogan is coming out with a kind of yoga pretty soon. Why are you waving at me? What's happening?
I'm not. I'm waving at him.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe
someone came in the room. Oh. James. You know, James, the fine morning show producer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's still here, I might add.
Yeah.
Would you see any of our producers doing that kind of work?
Nobody's got no place else to go, I think.
No, that's probably true.
Okay.
He came in a wave, and I just waved back.
Okay.
Sorry if I was distracted.
I'm a little paranoid.
I don't know why you're paranoid.
Jumpy.